Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Here and Now, the Dawlish and Tynmouth Area Talking Newspaper. Today is Friday, the 5th of April, 2024, and I'm Jean Cole. And I'm joined by two readers from our team for this week's programme. Let's meet them.
Hello, I'm Maggie West.
Hello, I'm Linda Bowman.
Here are this week's headlines. Open again. Teen Shanty Festival's future in doubt, and Bishop Jackie makes history. And now to our first story from Maggie.
Minor Injury Unit open again to patients. After 4 years, the Minor Injuries Unit at Dawlish Hospital has finally reopened. NHS bosses confirmed the opening a few weeks ago, and now the unit is open to patients. It'll be open from Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on an appointment basis. The priority service will mean people are able to call 01626 895203 and book appointments for the same day. Walk-in visitors will be supported, but appointments will be prioritised so patients may be redirected. Staff will be able to treat a range of conditions, including soft tissue injuries, limb injuries, soft tissue infections, wounds such as bites and stings, lacerations requiring sutures, foreign bodies in eyes and ears, and minor illnesses such as tonsillitis, ear infections, and female urinary tract infections. The unit was closed for 4 years, mainly due to staffing problems, but now NHS bosses have filled the vacant nursing posts. Dr. Liz Thomas, Deputy Medical Director of Torbay and South Devon NHS, said the Dawlish model is based on the Minor Injuries Unit system at Totnes Hospital, which currently works very well. The reopening comes after years of campaigning by the Friends of Dawlish Hospital and Dawlish Town Council. Chairman of the Friends of Dawlish Hospital, Jeff King, said, "Needless to say, I'm delighted that significant progress has been made." The reopening follows lengthy campaigning by the Friends, who launched a petition last year. The Bring Back Dawlish Minor Injuries Unit petition attracted almost 200 responses, and there is a rather blurred photograph of the entrance to Dawlish Hospital, and surprisingly enough, there aren't any cars parked there.
Teen Shanty Festival's future in doubt. With its committee members looking to stand down, the future of a beloved maritime festival hangs in the balance, as a new team is needed to spearhead the event moving forward. The Teen Maritime and Shanty Festival proved a hit right out of the gate, having staged 4 very successful festivals and raising more than £10,000 for 4 local charities. Popular though it is, its future is uncertain, as the present committee, who have loved organising the festival and have gladly given up their time in service to it, are looking to step down to pursue other activities and are therefore hoping others will come forward and carry the torch. We have taken the decision to run the festival every other year, as it takes a year to prepare everything and to minimise costs. All the work is undertaken by the committee, right down to designing advertising materials and typesetting the huge programme, a spokesperson for the committee said. Teen Maritime and Shanty Festival is a registered trademark, and we are very protective of the brand. Feedback from performers and the public alike details how well organised and friendly the festival is, and we need to find a new team to uphold these high standards. The next festival is scheduled to be in September 2025. The exact date is tide dependent. And, given that it takes a year to prepare, we need to get a team in place as quickly as possible. The current main committee are happy to provide training, insight and oversight, but not to be part of the new committee. However, certain members of the wider committee, with responsibility for certain special organisational aspects, have indicated they would be happy to continue in a support role, the spokesperson added. The festival brings together shanty crews from assorted backgrounds and celebrates the maritime tradition of old as well as highlighting the best local food. The 2023 festival, for example, was the largest to date, with as many as 50 musicians, 15 sea-themed performers, and a whole host of volunteers. "We were honoured to have the world-famous Kimber's Men perform," the spokesperson said. Another highlight was the presence all weekend of the tall ship Pelican, moored in Tynmouth Harbour, for people to board and look around. Last year also saw the use of the Den on the Saturday, heralded by a Scottish piper, leading many of the performers around the town, culminating in a gathering in the Triangle. The festival was kindly opened by Tynmouth's Mayor, Councillor Joan Atkins, outside the Tynmouth Pavilions, the spokesperson added. Recently, the committee staged a free thank you at Tynmouth Rugby Club for all the volunteers and sound technicians, with entertainment provided by the Back Beach Boys and Celtic Dawn. "Volunteers are essential, and without them the festival simply could not go ahead. This is also true of the many local companies which support the festival, whether it be through advertising or supplying their wares during the event. Expressions of interest are to be sent by email to info@teenshantyfestival.co.uk. And there are two photographs, one with six of the shanty men in their navy blue hoodies and sweatshirts. Look as though they're in full flow, as though all the mouths are open. And there is also a picture, a lovely photo of the harbour area on the back beach, with a rather green looking sea, lots of little boats and dinghies, and quite a crowd all around the edges, and obviously enjoying the sunshine.
Bishop Jackie makes history. The acting Bishop of Exeter, the Right Reverend Jackie Searle, has become the first woman in history to lead the annual Chrism Eucharist at Exeter Cathedral on Maundy Thursday. The service is a major gathering of clergy and licensed lay ministers from across Devon, during which they renew their ministerial vows. It is an opportunity to thank them for their ministry and faithfulness in serving God and the people in their care. The word chrism means consecrated oil. During the service, holy oils used for anointing and prayers for healing are blessed by the bishop and distributed to the congregation to take back to their parishes. And the Chrism Eucharist service has been taking place at Exeter Cathedral for centuries. Bishop Jackie said the oil that is blessed at the service will be at times be used in public ceremony, at the licensing of clergy, at baptism, at confirmation, at ordination, and at a service for healing, and at other times in private, at a hospital bedside, or in a person's home as they near the end of their life. Whether public or private, it is always an intimate moment, a God moment, a sacred space. Bishop Jackie said, "It is my very great privilege to be presiding at this wonderful gathering, and it is especially moving to be doing it this year as we celebrate the 30th anniversary of women being ordained to the priesthood. I am grateful for all my sisters and brothers in the Diocese of Exeter as we come together to live out our calling to follow Christ and to serve the people of Devon with joy." And there's a very nice photograph of Bishop Jackie blessing all the oils, surrounded by all the various clergy at the cathedral.
RNLI's Anne to take on Marathon. A Royal Navy Lifeboat Institute officer from Tynmouth is to take on the London Marathon in a bid to raise funds for the charity. Anne Steele Arnott, Tynmouth's lifeboat visitor officer, is hard at work preparing for the iconic road race. She has set a target of £1,000 and is well on the way to achieving that goal, having raised already more than £600. Anne has set up a daily blog where she has been posting updates on her training ahead of the 26-mile race, which takes place on April the 21st. If you would like to support her in achieving her target of raising £1,000, you can use her Just Giving page using the link provided in the newspaper. And you can also follow her daily blog as she finishes her training ahead of the big day, a spokesman for the RNLI said. For those wanting to donate and to keep the journey up to date with Anne, click on Tynmouth Lifeboat Station.
Catching Good Friday Wave at Tynmouth. Catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world, enthused the Beach Boys back in 1963. And although the South Devon coast may not be San O, Del Mar or the Ventura County line, it was able to provide at the start of the Easter break. After Storm Nelson pelted us with hail, snow, thunder, high winds and torrential rain on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday provided a few hours of much-needed sunshine among the showers. And although it wasn't strictly beach weather at Tynmouth, this wasn't a problem for the half-dozen hardy surfers who took to the waters to ride the waves. And there's one photo of a very grey-looking sea with two surfers who actually, neither of whom are actually on their surfboards.
Work starts on Learning Disability and Autism Unit. Work has begun on a new £20 million Learning Disability and Autism, or LDA, unit on Devon Partnerships Trust Langdon site in Dawlish. Preparation work has been going on for the last few weeks, with a formal turf cutting ceremony taking place at the end of February, with Service Manager for the LDA unit, Carol Gray, doing the honours. Carol was joined by Andy Willis, DPT, that's Devon Partnership Trust's chair, Phil Mante, Acting Chief Executive, Chris Entwistle from the Learning Disability Service, Shona Charlton from NHS Devon, and the Regional Director for Construction Partner, Kia. Andy and Phil reminded that this £20 million investment is part of a £40 million regional project being delivered through two locations, with the other unit being in Bristol. The 10-bed unit has been designed with input from people with lived experience and is designed to provide state-of-the-art care for people in a modern therapeutic environment when it opens next summer. And there's a photograph of presumably all the people who have been mentioned in the article, all standing on what looks like a building site at the moment, and all with their hard hats on and their high-vis jackets, all looking quite happy. Let's hope it lasts.
Trip Down Memory Lane by the Sea for Rita, 95. 95-year-old Rita Quayle from Tynmouth had her heartfelt wish come true recently with the support of Rowcroft Hospice, because she was able to relive cherished memories on Tynmouth seafront. As a patient with motor neuron disease and with limited communication and mobility, her dream was simple yet profound: to visit the seaside to remember happy days spent there with her late husband Albert and their three children. With the support of Rowcroft's caring team, Rita's dream came true one cold, sunny day last November, with the help of a wheelchair hoist and specially adapted vehicle. Rita's daughters, Hazel, Megan and Faye, expressed their gratitude for the trip. Mum used to walk along the seafront with her husband Albert when they were courting, and during their 75 years of marriage. Although Albert sadly passed away in 2022, Mum's wish was to visit the seaside at least one more time, they said. It was a lovely gesture from Rowcroft to give our mother some relief to her ongoing debilitating illness, giving her a sense of tranquility and overall happiness for a brief moment, and putting a huge smile on her face. It was wonderful for her to have a trip out, as she's been housebound for years, apart from an occasional visit to hospital, and to relive a moment of happiness shared with her husband in years gone by. Rita had run a wool and craft shop before the onset of motor neuron disease, a fatal, rapidly progressing disease that affects more than 5,000 adults in the UK. MND targets the brain and spinal cord, attacking the nerves that control movement, so muscles no longer work. Unable to walk and with two live-in carers assisting with all her physical and domestic tasks, Rita can no longer speak clearly and her communication is very limited. To express her needs to her carers, she makes sounds, nods her head and spells out words using an alphabet sheet. Occupational therapist Izzy Warren said, "My role is to support patients to achieve their goals and wishes. Meeting individual care needs is important, and our focus is on maximising the quality of life. We do this not only by providing special equipment to help people in their day-to-day lives, but also by asking patients, what's important to you?" When we asked Rita what would bring meaning to her life, she indicated she wanted to go to Tynmouth Seaside, as it was a place steeped in memories for her. It was clear that the trip meant so much. She had a smile on her face from start to finish. The Rowcroft team has supported Rita at home through a diverse team, including clinical nurse specialists and other professionals. The hospice is committed to true person-centred care and continues to make a significant impact in the local community, going beyond stereotypical perceptions of hospice care. Rowcroft combines its expertise with other NHS professionals to offer a holistic, multidisciplinary team approach. While Rowcroft cares for 2,500 patients like Rita annually, in recent years the hospice has noticed a substantial increase in the number of patients with neurological conditions such as MND, Parkinson's and dementia. The charity recognises the many complex needs and diverse challenges for these patients and for their carers, and helps patients and their families prepare for their future and make the most of the time they have left. Many people know that we provide care to cancer patients with a terminal diagnosis, but they're often unaware that we deliver care to people with all kinds of complex conditions, such as MND, respiratory and cardiological illnesses, said Izzy. Rita was taken back in time, with the experience sparking joyful memories of Albert and her children. It gave us a picture of the Rita she used to be, and it was wonderful that she had a chance to relive those happy times. As Rowcroft staff, we're very much aware that our patients have a life that extends far beyond the life-limiting illness and symptoms that we see before us. It's important that people are not defined by the illness that they are experiencing. And there's a truly lovely photograph of Rita in her specially adapted wheelchair with her woolly hat pulled over her ears, because it's obviously November and the sea's a little bit grey behind her. She's covered with a bright pink blanket, and, well, the smile on her face says everything.
A £3 million sports centre revamp. A multi-million pound revamp of a Teignbridge leisure centre has been given the green light after months of wrangling over changing facilities. Councillors have raised fears that new village-style unisex changing cubicles at the refurbished Broadmeadow leisure centre in Tynmouth would deter women and girls from using them. One claimed the changing rooms would put women at risk from sex pests. But a public consultation has come out overwhelmingly in favour of the new facilities, and now Teignbridge Council has given the go-ahead for the revamp to begin. The sports centre will get a refurbishment costing more than £3 million, alongside a decarbonisation programme, bringing it in line with other public buildings in Teignbridge. Projects across the district have so far cut gas consumption in public buildings by 76%. And there is one photograph of our modern Broadmeadow Sports Centre.
Tynmouth's making memories as town honours first freeman. A stalwart supporter of all things Tynmouth has been awarded the highest honour possible by the Town Council. Sylvia Russell was awarded the Freedom of the Town at Bitton House during a recent ceremony, which makes her the first honorary Freeman of Tynmouth. The award was in recognition for more than 40 years of eminent, valuable, devoted and continuous service to Tynmouth Town Council. Mrs. Russell has served Tynmouth as Mayor, Town, District and County Councillor, as well as boasting membership to several outside bodies associated with the town council. To resounding applause from family, friends and colleagues, both past and present, Mrs. Russell was presented with a framed scroll at a buffet reception. It was my privilege and great pleasure to make this presentation on behalf of the Town Council to someone who has dedicated so much of their life to the service of our town, said Councillor Joan Atkins, the Mayor of Tynmouth. To end the formal proceedings, the Mayor also presented Mrs. Russell with a picture of a memorial bench on the Den, which the Town Council had replaced when Tinbridge took their ones away from just outside her house and didn't replace them. And Sylvia was really disappointed that there was no longer anywhere for people to sit. Our bench was put there as a replacement, said the Mayor. It has been fitted with a dedication plate in honour of Sylvia's 43 years of continuous service. And there's a very nice photograph of the Mayor presenting Councillor Russell with the scroll, the framed scroll, so that she can hang that on her wall.
Plans on show for Newmarket Hall. A major step forward in the revitalisation of Newton Abbot Town Centre will be taken early in April when traders, businesses and shoppers will get the chance to see the plans for the Market Hall. The exhibition of the plans will begin with an engagement event for traders on Wednesday, April the 10th. Officers and members from Tynbridge District Council will talk through the plans to relocate traders to the former post office building while work to transform the Market Hall area takes place. Tynmouth District Council plan to work with existing traders on the relocation timings and information about the new Market Hall offer, alongside opportunities within the vacant shops which had been earmarked for this purpose since they became empty. The event will also be the chance for discussion about ongoing communication and engagement. Following the traders' event, the exhibition will relocate to Market Walk, where residents, visitors and shoppers can see the plans for Market Square, which will boast a food and drink area, as well as a modern bespoke and market stall area. The whole area will also be approached through a completely redesigned and revitalised Market Square, which will have trees, plants and seating areas, and provide a calm and attractive place for people to socialise, eat and relax. The exhibition space will be open from Thursday, April the 11th to Saturday, April the 13th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The work to transform the market area of Newton Abbot is being funded for the Future High Streets Fund and is part of the overreaching Garden Communities Plan to revitalise, enhance and protect the areas of Newton Abbot and Kingstainton. Councillor David Palethorpe, Tynbridge Council's Executive Member for Economic Development, said, "The new market project is part of our ambitions to regenerate and revitalise our premier market town and will provide an exciting market offer for residents and visitors to the town. We are keen to talk to anyone who is interested in running a stall in the new market." And there is a picture of an artist's impression of the proposals for Newton Abbot, which is very clean and modern, nice open square with trees, but retaining the old market hall in the background.
Two-week bank closure for revamp. HSBC in Newton Abbot is closed for 2 weeks for a refurbishment from tomorrow. The Courtney Street branch revamp includes internal building work, new paint, new signage, and the installation of new state-of-the-art cash machines. The branch is expected to reopen on April 17th. Suzanne King, HSBC UK's local director, said, "We continue to invest in our branch network to make our customers' experience banking with us a good one. We are pleased that our Newton Abbot branch is getting a refresh. We have been talking to customers about the temporary closure for the last month, and while we are having the work done, people can continue to use their nearest post office for day-to-day transactions. During the closure, staff will be hosting community pop-up events at Coffee No. 1 on April the 4th, 5th, 8th and 9th between 9:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. The nearest HSBC branch is in Paignton.
Donate £1 and save a hound. A Dawlish businesswoman is again calling on the wider community to support her fundraising efforts for a Cyprus-based animal charity. Chrissy Marks of Signature Hair and Beauty is raising money for Saving Pound Dog Cyprus, or for short, SPDC, a Cyprus-based charity that saves dogs from municipal pounds and rehabilitates them with the aim of finding them a forever home. I adopted myself, Chrissy said. For the past 3 years, I've given a retirement home to a wonderful dog. In recent times, Chrissy has become more involved with fundraising for the charity, having previously arranged a drop-off point for unwanted dog toys. Chrissy is currently arranging fundraising events, which she has dubbed Dog Nose Days, and we're more than happy to discuss ideas with anyone keen on helping out. And she has a collection box at her signature, at her business, Signature Hair and Beauty. And there's a very nice photograph of Chrissy outside her hair salon in Dawlish, with, looks like, a lovely box of looking cakes, all iced with different decorations on. So maybe she's raffling those or something, but they look delicious.
Springtime exhibit at Royal Horticultural Society, Rosemore. Local artist Connie Vickers is set to showcase her solo art exhibition, Nature Through My Eyes, at the RHS Rosemore's Peter Buckley Learning Centre Exhibition Room, starting Good Friday until Sunday, the April the 28th. With free entry to the exhibit, it promises to captivate visitors with Vickers' unique interpretation of nature. Inspired by the stunning countryside surrounding her and enjoying taking walks in the woodlands and the gardens of Rosemore and its partner Clovelly Court Gardens, Vickers' artworks beautifully capture the colours, patterns and textures found on these outings. She's no stranger to the art scene, having exhibited regularly in recent years with the Westwood Ho and Biddeford Art Society and the Burton Gallery in Biddeford. Before returning to live in Devon in 2016, she exhibited at the Highworth Art Society in Wiltshire and the Pure Watercolour Society in Oxfordshire. Her portrait drawing for the NHS Heroes Initiative, created during COVID-19 lockdown, was selected for the permanent Google Healthcare Heroes online exhibition. She has also showcased and sold work with the Bath Society of Artists and the Victoria Art Gallery in Bath, Somerset, in 2023. Offering a refreshing perspective with her paintings, Connie aims to provide a sense of calm and escapism from the stress of modern life. Whether you're an art lover or simply someone who appreciates the beauty of nature, her artwork is sure to leave a lasting impression.
Russell Watson to sing in Cathedral. Renowned tenor Russell Watson is set to extend his Magnificent Buildings tour in September. The six-date stretch will see Russell head to some of the most historic abbeys and cathedrals across the country, starting with Exeter Cathedral on the 20th of September, followed by Bath Abbey, Truro Cathedral, Christchurch Priory, Stoke Minster, and finally St Nicholas Church, Newbury, on the 28th of September. At each stop on the tour, Russell, keen to promote and support local talent whenever possible, will be supported on stage by a local choir. Any vocal ensembles and choirs from the area of each show can apply by sending in an example piece of their work as a group, with the winner for each show to be selected by Russell himself. Russell Watson's unique voice has captivated audiences around the world, earning him numerous awards and accolades, including 4 Classical Brit Awards. The world-renowned tenor will be performing a special show with classic songs, old and new, together with a selection of his most loved hits from his illustrious career. He will be accompanied by his arranger and pianist, Mike Moran. After a successful run through 2023 and spring 2024, the tour promises to give fans a truly special experience as Watson continues to perform in some of the UK's most stunning and historic venues. Russell was once described by the New York Times as a performer who sings like Pavarotti and entertains the audience like Sinatra. There is just one photograph of him, looking quite relaxed and sitting in very smart suit and tie, and looks at the moment he is actually sporting a moustache these days.
There's one obituary this week. Derek Ernest Strutt passed peacefully at Palm Court Nursing Home on the 26th of March, 2024, aged 79 years. Beloved husband to Valerie, a much-loved father, grandfather and great-grandfather. The funeral service will be held on Wednesday the 17th of April at 12:30 p.m. at Torquay Crematorium. No black to be worn, please, and family flowers only. But donations to Guide Dogs for the Blind can be given online at www.oliverjnapmanfuneralservices.co.uk or by retiring collection, or sent to Oliver J. Knapman Funeral Service, 22 Brunswick Street, Tynemouth. And now, some dates for your diaries. On Tuesday the 9th of April, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Buckfast Abbey and the Butterfly Farm. Please phone 01626 88890. That's 01626 88890. Also on Tuesday the 9th of April, Starcross Library will be taking place at the Pavilions between 10:30 and 12:30 every Tuesday and Thursday mornings. On Wednesday the 10th of April, Cofton WI meet at 2:30 p.m. in St Mary's Hall, Dawlish, Warham. And on Saturday the 13th of April, there's a monthly sale at St Paul's Church in Starcross between 11 till 2 p.m. And on Sunday the 14th of April, the Bishop's Garden in Exeter is open from 2 to 4:30. The cost will be £5. And here's a report on Dawlish Ladies Guild sent in by Barbara Roberts. It was the AGM when the committee reported on the state of the Guild. The chairperson, Jill, announced there had been 13 new members over the course of the year. The book club, Ramblers, Crafts, Scrabble and Family History are all running. And the drama group are now resting following their panto production. Unfortunately, the Skittles group has ceased due to accommodation problems. It's been a good year for the Guild, although increased costs have made an increase in the annual subscription necessary, going from £15 to £17. Jill Voot was re-elected chairperson, with Maggie West as secretary and Sue Thompson as treasurer. The Guild is always keen to welcome new members to join them in their various activities. We always meet on the second Thursday of the month. Just come along to our next meeting on Thursday, April the 11th at 2 p.m. at the Riverside Centre, Brook Street, Dawlish, to meet us all.
And we now have a report on the Tynemouth and District U3A, by Jean Cox. This year seems to be the year of significant anniversaries, as the RNLI celebrate 200 years, Tynemouth Golf Club celebrates 100 years, and Tynemouth Rugby Club turned 150 earlier this year. At our most recent monthly presentation, we welcomed Tynemouth Rugby Club's Ray Moore to speak. Ray, a former president and stalwart of the Rugby Club, began by explaining that 150th anniversary is known as a sesquicentennial, a very difficult word to pronounce, and many had difficulty with that pronunciation. Try saying it out loud. Ray continued his presentation with a video which had been made especially for his celebration year and illustrated how the club, one of Devon's oldest, from 1874 to the present day, had been a real community and family in Tynemouth. Members of the club had contributed to the defences of Tynemouth during the war years, and he spoke about how the pandemic had affected the finances of the club and how they had to manage to survive through a new idea of crowdfunding and help from Sport England. The club today has embraced women's teams alongside the men and has a thriving junior section which continues to feed county, as well as the success of local Simmons brothers, Sam and Joe, who have both represented England and continue to play rugby in France. Ray concluded his talk by showing the club's appreciation to all the volunteers who helped to run the club behind the scenes, as well as up front, and for the success of the club for the next 50 years. Tynmouth and District U3A will be celebrating their 5th anniversary later this year, so we have some catching up to do.
Baker cooks up worthy win. There was a good attendance for the Dawlish Indoor Bowls finals last weekend, writes Peter Hayes. On Saturday, the ladies' singles and men's singles finals took place. The ladies' final was a family affair as Jean Pitts faced sister Dawn Konetsky. Dawn gained the advantage by throwing shorter jacks, and Dawn eventually won 22-4. The men's final threw together Mark Baker and talented teenager Andrew Moore. Although Andrew played some excellent shots, he did not match the standards set by Mark, who proved a very worthy winner on 21-10. In the ladies' umbrella event on Sunday, the final was between the pair of Debs Ketley and Georgie Noun against Carol Scutt and Steph Cheshire. Each player had two bowls, and the umbrella is played over 18 ends. Carol made life difficult for her opponents with accurate first bowls, while Steph added to these throughout. Debs and Georgie never gave up, and Steph and Carol worked to keep their lead, finishing 16-11, the winners. And there are two photographs. The first photograph is six of the members, Steph Cheshire, Mark Baker, Dawn Konetsky, Andrew Moore, Jean Pitts and Peter Hayes. And the second photo is the four ladies, Georgie Noun, Debs Ketley, Steph Cheshire and Carol Scutt. And they are all wearing the emerald green uniform that they wear when they are playing.
Marina receives local support. Marina Bowling Club in Dawlish is pleased to announce a 2-year sponsorship deal from local estate agents Fraser and Wheeler, writes Deborah Ketley. This ongoing support is important, enabling continued development to the club. Club members will proudly display the sponsor's name on the back of their shirts. This support from Fraser and Wheeler will allow Marina Bowling Club to continue to improve its facilities for its members, particularly for achieving the aim of delivering bowls for all, regardless of ability, age or experience. Marina Bowling Club will, as usual, offer a youth academy, as well as a full fixture list of competitive, friendly and social bowls, with some members having entered in Devon County competitions too. The new season commences on April the 20th, and the club is looking forward to welcoming back returning members. And we also hope to attract new players through a taster day on May the 11th, and social evening drop-ins on Thursdays from mid-May. And there's a photograph of one of the members of the Marina Bowling Club with their back to us, but I think it's a gentleman, proudly supporting the new shirts with the Fraser and Wheeler names on the back.
And now we have three short stories which give us an idea of what was happening in Tynmouth 50 years ago. New clock for St Michael's. For 85 years, the St Michael's Church Tower clock has been telling the time to the people of Tynmouth, and now it's stopped. And many of your readers must be wondering why this public servant has ceased to operate. The clock is being converted to the use of electricity, which will eliminate manual winding and enable us to bring back the hour striking and quarter chiming, except during the night hours when an auto silencing unit will cut out all the striking and chiming. Butter. A woman shopkeeper remarked about the arrival of butter from a particular European country. "I think you'll find it a bit strong compared with English butter. Many of her customers had brought back another brand, complaining it had gone off. The suppliers found by the code marks that the mistake had been made in the blended butter, which should have been sent to the north of England, where apparently they're like a stronger butter. A milder blend is usually sent to the south of England. There wasn't anything wrong with the butter. I don't know what will happen when the New Zealand butter is finally stopped. People will buy it, even though it is a penny or two dearer." And finally, streaker. This is an example of the current craze of streaking, said Police Sergeant Lawrence J. Young in Tynmouth Magistrate Court. Constable Newton saw the naked figure of a man wearing only his socks running along Bath Terrace at 11:08 p.m. He pursued him to Brunswick Street. The man was David MacDonald of 11 Elmgrove Road, Dawlish. He said, "No, please don't, please let me go. I'm doing this for a £5 bet. I don't want my parents to know." He wished to apologise to anyone offended. It was dark and he didn't think there was anyone about. His friends told the constable that they would bring his clothes. It cost him a fine of £20.
County Show aims for inclusive access for all. Each year, the Devon County Show welcomes well over 1,000 visitors with accessibility issues through its gates, and this number is increasing year on year. Recognising the importance of creating an inclusive experience for all, show manager Lisa Moore has announced the introduction of several new initiatives for the 2024 show. These have come about as a result of a site audit carried out at last year's show by Chloe Hammond, a wheelchair user, and her assistance dog, Ocho. "I am the only disabled nurse in the UK who works clinically in my wheelchair with Ocho, my 3-year-old yellow Labrador, who's best friend and mobility assistance dog," said Chloe. "I graduated from the University of West London 10 years ago with a letter of recommendation from the Dean and went on to win the recent Graduate Award in 2022. This hasn't stopped me facing discrimination and prejudice during my career, but I am a nurse and nursing is what I do. This year I have started to use my voice and try and initiate changes. I'm trying to make accessibility better for not just me, but other people with disabilities too. This could be things like Devon County Show, or could be careers in health and social care. Being disabled is hard work, and there are things people can and should do to make that easier. We shouldn't have to fight for our disabled rights. Disabled people are people with so much to offer. I hope to be seen, be heard, and be someone who makes a difference." Some of the new initiatives recommended by Chloe, and which are to be implemented, include a high-dependency mobile disabled toilet unit equipped with a hoist and chairs placed outside or accessible toilet facilities, a ban on retractable dog leads, and signing by a BSL interpreter in the accessible viewing area, which is located alongside the public grandstand next to the main arena, on at least one day of the show. Another initiatives include disability awareness training for all Devon County Show staff, plus dedicated accessibility stewards, and call out to traders with raised stands to bring ramps in order to facilitate accessibility for wheelchair users and those with limited mobility, with a new award for the best accessible trade stand. "We have always prided ourselves on being an accessible show, with several elements already in place to facilitate access for everyone, regardless of their ability," said show manager Lisa Moore. "As a constantly evolving show, we recognise that there's always room for improvement. It has been incredibly useful having Chloe working with us and giving us such a detailed insight into the show from her perspective. She recognises that we can't reinvent the wheel in year one, and many of her recommendations have been small steps, but ones which I'm convinced will make a really big difference to Devon County showgoers living with a disability. As a thank you to both Chloe and Ocho, the show was pleased to donate a cheque for £1,000 towards Ocho's upkeep this year." And there's a photograph of Lisa Moore, the show manager, with Chloe Hammond sitting in her wheelchair, and between them there is Ocho, and he is sporting a Devon County Show bandana around his neck.
And finally, here's an article on Good Friday, which of course was a week ago today, and it's called Christians Walk in Steps of Jesus. A mass of Christians from across Newton Abbot came together on Good Friday for the annual Walk of Witness. Following a short service at the Avenue Church in the town, the Christians together in Newton Abbot organised events, so more than 150 people participate in the walk. The annual Good Friday Walk of Witness sees Christians of different denominations and of no affiliation imitate the journey that Jesus Christ took carrying his cross through the streets of Jerusalem. Led by volunteers carrying a large wooden cross and accompanied by members of the Salvation Army Band, the procession stopped at several points around the town for prayers, reflections and hymns. The event finished with a celebration at the Golden Lion Square with the Christian Dance Fellowship of Britain. And similar walks took place in Tynmouth, Shoreditch and King's Kurzweil. And there are several photographs. One of the walk leaving Avenue Church with Charlie Michaels carrying the cross from the church. And there's another one where they stopped outside Byrne's School in Newton Abbot. And another one of them walking actually into Newton Abbot, all looking very happy actually carrying their banners. And there's another photograph which shows some beautiful daffodils along the way. That brings us to the end of this week's edition of Here and Now, recorded at our studio in Dawlish on Friday, April the 5th. And we hope that you have enjoyed the programme. If you need to contact us for any reason, the telephone number is 07376 147374. And I'll repeat that, 07376 147374. Please leave your name and telephone number on the answering service and we will ring you back. Our editor this week is Jean Cole, the copier is Sue Smallwood, and the dispatcher is Sue Smallwood. The programme was produced and directed by Ian Ferguson. So it's time for us to say goodbye from our readers, Maggie West and Linda Bowman.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And from me, Jean Cole, goodbye.